Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Oprah Winfrey, and the First Gentleman, Stedman. Is that his name, by the way? Can you believe that? I can believe it. I don't know about you, but I can believe that today, January 8th or whatever it is, 2018 here in the United States of America, we're actually having a conversation about media mogul and everyone's best friend and the nation's pastor, Oprah Winfrey, just because of a speech she gives at the Golden Globe Awards. People are actually talking about Oprah 2020. So what do you do with that? I mean, I don't know exactly, but Ben Shapiro over at the Daily Wire, and if you never read Ben Shapiro, you need to do that. He's a great writer, great communicator, absolutely brilliant and ruthless and whip smart and just fearless as well. So he's got several things I want to share with you on this whole thing, what happened last night at the Golden Globes, and kind of funny to watch Hollywood come out and take the moral high ground, which to me is about the same as the Democrat Party taking the moral high ground as they champion the continued destruction of the unborn, not to mention the gay marriage agenda as well as the gender agenda in general, which now gender has become a general term, of course. So thank you to the Democrat Party. So I rarely can accept any member of the Democrat Party or a spokesperson for the Democrat Party, you know, claiming the moral high ground. How can they, based on the things I just mentioned? And then you've got Hollywood trying to claim the moral high ground when it comes to the Me Too movement and sexual harassment after years of saying nothing, doing nothing, looking the other way. There's no way all these people have been clueless, especially Oprah Winfrey. There's all kinds of pictures of Oprah buddy-buddy with Harvey Weinstein, who obviously is the kind of the finger that got pulled out of the dam, out of the dike, and then boom, the whole thing bursts. And now we see the sexual harassment, sexual overpowering, hashtag Me Too thing going all over the place, cutting across every industry and nook and cranny of the culture. And then, you know, my friend Paul, who's with a national ministry, we were talking a couple minutes ago, and he's like, yeah, it's interesting to hear the moral outrage coming from all these people, especially the women wearing black. And a significant portion of them dressed rather scantily. I'm like, wow. You know what? Yep. Uh-huh. I mean, when you dress like that and then you cry out for... But that's women's liberation, right? It doesn't matter how I dress or how I present myself. You know, and I know that's a sticky subject. We start talking about whose fault is it? Is it the guy lusting after the girl who dresses provocatively, or does she have the freedom to do that? Does she even, is it our problem? Is it our problem, guys, that we look at women that way and notice and think things about them based on the way they present themselves, or should they have the freedom to present themselves any way they want? And all this stuff gets mixed up and then comes out at the Golden Globes of all places. So a couple things to talk about on that one today. And I'm just going to go ahead and open up the phones because this is I'm just curious, you know, because you have to be careful here. You can't just wholesale say Oprah Winfrey 2020 is absolutely ridiculous because 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, I would have said Donald Trump 2018 was absolutely ridiculous. He's kind of a bigger than life, almost a caricature of himself in many ways, and just the bloviating playboy multi-billionaire guy. And you're fired and all that stuff. And I don't think most of us took Donald Trump seriously over all the years. And to think of him 5 or 10 years ago, you know, when he would kind of play around with the presidential thing, and then he would back out, and it was good media for him. And anyway, and I think he was always working the media angle once he started The Apprentice and all that, the TV stuff, that part of his life. And so we all laughed at that, right? I think most of us did. I certainly did. But yet, right now, Donald Trump is most likely sitting in the Oval Office. And so if Donald Trump can get there, who says Oprah Winfrey can't? So do you take Oprah Winfrey 2020 seriously, or do you think it's a big joke? And why or why not? If you'd like to call in and chime in on the Oprah Winfrey question today. And I know there's all kinds of other things we could be talking about, but I do have 5 days a week to do radio. And when things come up, you know, I think there's a lot of things we can learn about our culture, about ourselves even, when we consider these things. And again, comparing Oprah to Donald Trump and him being in the White House right now, I think you have to be intellectually honest and say we wouldn't have ever thought Donald Trump would be the president. But yet here we are. And I was not a big Donald Trump supporter at all in the primaries. Once he won the primaries, I was a Donald Trump voter, but not a big supporter. I was an anti-Hillary person. I've made that perfectly clear to all of you guys over all of those months. And I still stand by that. The way I voted was a pragmatic vote. I was not a never Trumper. I don't agree with the never Trumpers. And many of them I know, evangelical leaders. I didn't buy into that. I don't think pragmatism in a broken world is a sin. So in that case, I certainly didn't. And so it's just an interesting thing to consider Oprah Winfrey 2020. But if you want to chime in on that, I'd be happy to share the airtime with you today. 866-348-7884 is our number, 866-34-TRUTH. Do you take it seriously? Do you think she could get elected? Let me ask it that way. Do you think the United States of America, in its current condition and in the direction that it's currently moving, would elect somebody like Oprah Winfrey, the president of the United States? You'd have the first woman, the first black woman. It wouldn't be the first media mogul, because I think you can call Donald Trump the first media mogul. It wouldn't be the first outsider, because Donald Trump's clearly an outsider. And if Donald Trump can get in, I think Oprah Winfrey could get in. And I think that's where we're at in the arc of history with the United States of America. But what do you think? Do you think it's serious? Do you think we should take it seriously? Do you really think Oprah Winfrey could get elected to the presidency of the United States? 866-34-TRUTH is the number here on the show today. This is Steve Noble. It is called Action Radio. 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm going to get into some things here from Ben Shapiro, and I'd love to take your calls as well. So do you take it seriously? Do you think Oprah Winfrey could get elected? After all, we elected Donald Trump. 866-34-TRUTH is our number, 866-34-TRUTH. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back after this short break. All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Oprah Winfrey 2020? Huh. Well, who would have said Donald Trump 2016, 2017, 2018, and that he's actually the president of the United States? Like I said earlier, I think going back 10 years, we all kind of laughed about that. Nobody took it seriously yet. There he is in the Oval Office, flying around in Air Force One, jumping on Marine One to go up to Camp David. And if Donald Trump can get there, who's to say that Oprah Winfrey could not? And so I've got an interesting story. Ben Shapiro at the Daily Wire, great look at Oprah for president. And one friend, watcher on Facebook Live today, and by the way, if you want to join us on Facebook Live, it's just facebook.com/C2A Radio. The letter C, the number 2, the letter A as in call to action. Facebook.com/C2A Radio. But one person on Facebook suggested, you know, why are you even bothering to talk about this? Well, because there's a significant number of people talking about it, and if the country's willing to talk about it, I'm willing to look at it. And for me, as a born-again Christian with a pretty solid biblical worldview, I just see the insanity of man in all of this. That man is that a lot of Americans in the political arena are looking for a savior, somebody to come in, wave the magic wand, and solve all my problems, fatten my bank account, and make easy my way. And because they don't have a real savior, even though 76% of Americans say, hey, I'm a Christian, once you dive into that, you find out that really probably only 15% of Americans at best actually know what the Bible teaches about who is a Christian and who is not. Born-again Christian isn't some slam. some moniker from the 70s and 80s, that is biblical. Go read John chapter 3. You must be born again. Jesus said it himself. So he used to say, I used to think this, people that were born again Christians, that's just some kind of moniker for wacky people that are Bible thumpers and take the Bible too seriously, and God forbid they take it literally. I'm telling you, you study it. You study what people say. You study the polling. You study all the studies that are out there. Barna Research, all the research groups that do that. And what I've found consistently over the last 10 years is a very small minority of Americans actually know what the Bible teaches. And so people can say they're Christians all day long, but if they don't espouse the Bible, the truth of the Bible, if they don't know the gospel, if they're not born again, they're not Christians. You can say it all you want. So you've got this country that's clamoring for somebody to solve our problems. What you really need is a savior. So you look to Washington, D.C. or Oprah Winfrey or Donald Trump to kind of make your life better when the answer is your heavenly Father above. But that's another subject. So if you want to call in and chime in on this Oprah Winfrey 2020 talk coming out of the Golden Globes from last night, unbelievable what we turn into stories in this country, then call it 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to jump over to Jenny, who's calling in from Durham, North Carolina. Jenny, thanks for calling in. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Hey, I think you've got it. We need a Christian. I don't know about Oprah. I don't care what color somebody is. I don't care if they're a man or a woman. But I do care that they care about babies in the womb until all the way till natural death. And I think that there are good Christian men and women that need to get up there. And I think Ronald Reagan, he wasn't pro-life. And all of a sudden, he's during his presidency, he's pro-life. And then, we need to get rid of NPR unless they can, get more Christian. Because they're touting Margaret Sanger, who's a racist. And they talk about abortion like it's a right, and we should put down our blood money so anybody can have an abortion. And I'm
publicly funded NPR.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And who are they representing? They're not representing me. They're not representing you. I mean, I don't. You know, they act like the more I listen to NPR, it's like all they do all day is criticize Donald Trump, and it's so juvenile. Almost every show they have on, they're constantly badgering him, and they didn't have one word against President Obama. The whole presidency, I don't remember anything negative about President Obama. I mean, which is astounding, you know.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't, you know, if they weren't publicly funded, I don't care who they pull for or what they talk about. But the fact that they're public, I mean, the government shouldn't be in the business of funding a series of radio networks around the country. That's not what the government was designed for. It's ridiculous. So do you think that, Jenny, do you think that Oprah Winfrey would actually stand a chance in this country?
I think with a lot of these Democrats that are so upset about the presidency now with their Play-Doh and puppy dogs and coloring books, and it's almost like JFK got assassinated, I think they would. I wouldn't be surprised if they would pull for Oprah. I mean, she has good parts of her. She's very she's good at giving away her money, and she has good causes for girls. But I think when you don't believe in pro-life, it's a mixed message. I think I'm pro-woman. That means I'm pro-life. It's just
right, of course,
innate.
Yep, it should be anyway. I mean, but that's because you're sane and you see properly and you have the Holy Spirit, I assume, and so you understand reality. A lot of people don't, sadly.
Yeah, because that baby might be a girl, even if you're a woman.
That's right.
Could be half and half. It means that girls are just, you know, it could be a girl or boy. It's all good. God
right.
knows what he's doing. But
amen.
I
right.
think that they just don't believe, they don't want anybody to say they're a Christian because they could look at their life and say, I've done some wrong things and I don't want you to tell me what I've done wrong.
Yeah, nobody likes judgment, that's for sure. Jenny, thanks for calling in and sharing
sure.
that. I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
You're welcome. Have a great afternoon. 866-34-TRUTH if you want to chime in on Oprah Winfrey 2020. 866-34-TRUTH. And the reason I bring it up, listen, there's all kinds of other things that I think are far more important. I am on the radio 5 days a week. And so, I have some leeway there with things that I choose to talk about. And I don't schedule the show out every day for weeks in advance, because in our crazy news cycle, stuff comes and it goes quickly. This is an interesting thing. It's an interesting window in on the soul of the United States and where we're at as a country. Whereas 25, 30 years ago, I don't think anybody would have considered Donald Trump seriously. Nobody would consider Oprah Winfrey seriously. But today, Donald Trump is the president and Oprah Winfrey's talking about it all of a sudden. So it's amazing to me as the country clamors for answers and clamors for security and clamors for peace and clamors for leadership that because they want a savior, but they're just looking in the wrong place. And so Oprah Winfrey, you know, steps up to the bat. So this is something that Ben Shapiro, Daily Wire, kind of went into her speech and kind of slammed some of the things in her speech. There were some good things in her speech, but some of the other stuff in there was kind of outlandish. And she was comparing things from the 60s to the way things are today. And one of her statements about your truth. What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. Well, that's secular humanism. Your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. Well, you know what? There's only one truth. And so all these various competing truth claims can't be true. But secular humanists and a lot of young people today, millennials and people that want to reject Jesus and reject a biblical worldview, that's the way they play it. Well, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. Oh, really? Go try that in Saudi Arabia. Go try that in Afghanistan. Go try that in Russia. You're going to find out really quick. That's not going to fly. One truth is going to rule over another truth by might. But for me as a Christian, there is a truth. And so we speak about that and we base our lives on that. So that's just kind of part of Oprah's thing. She once made a statement. She grew up Baptist, but then she had a problem following a God who got jealous. God is a jealous God. And she's reading that from human perspective, doesn't understand what Elkanah is. That's the jealousy of God, which, by the way, just for a little theological lesson, the jealousy of God is the feelings you would have as a parent if your son or your daughter were off running crazy, doing drugs, giving themselves away, and you're desperate for them to come back. You would have Elkanah. You would be like God desiring for his children to come back, that intense desire to see your kids healthy. That's the Elkanah. That's the jealousy of God. We'll be right back. It's happened before. You may remember. Almost nobody knew who Dr. Ben Carson was. Almost nobody. Ben Carson wasn't on anybody's radar unless they knew something about his field of medicine and the book that he had written and all that. That was great, but that was a personal story. Nobody knew anything about him. Then he gives a great speech decrying the Obamacare and the healthcare situation in America at a national prayer breakfast. And the next thing you know, that afternoon, the next day, the next couple weeks, it's Ben Carson for president, baby. This guy should be the president. And at the time, I was like, a gifted surgeon, no question about it, brilliant, pulled himself up by his bootstraps, a great personal story. There's no doubt about it. He gives one good speech in front of the Democrat president at the time, and we're ready to crown him president of the United States. And to me, that was just absurd. Just sitting there going, really? Is that all it takes? Is a good speech and somebody that's pulled themselves up out of poverty, which is a great story. But does that make you ready to be the president of the United States? Well, that's where we're at now. And Donald Trump shows up and he's got business acumen, clearly. He's smart in many different ways. I think he's buffoonish in other ways. But he's certainly made a name for himself, and we didn't take him seriously for a long time. And he's sitting in the Oval Office today. I'm not. And then Oprah Winfrey steps up to last night. The Golden Globes, of all places, gives a speech. Some parts of it were good. A lot of it was kind of bleh, from my personal opinion. But now people are seriously talking about Oprah Winfrey for president. I mean, it's just crazy that we go there that fast, that any percentage of this country goes there that fast. So I'm gonna read this Ben Shapiro article to you real quick, and talks about five reasons she could win and five reasons she won't. This is a great way of looking at it, and some really, I think thoughtful points here that we need to consider where we're at as a country, that we would seriously look at somebody like Oprah Winfrey. And again, we elected Donald Trump. So to sit there and say there's no way Oprah Winfrey could get elected, I think that's just ignorant. I'm going to jump over here to a guy who's calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina, right here in my hometown. Guy, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to comment on what you're talking about, Oprah Winfrey for president. I don't know whether she's going to be a good president. I have no idea. But, you know, you were saying how absurd it was. And then you kind of went through you know, what we've been through in the past of the country the last couple of years as far as things that at once seemed absurd but actually happened. And you mentioned about being about people looking at Oprah as a savior. I don't think that the majority of people look at her as a savior or even want a savior in a president. We just want a good leadership. We want a good president who will make good decisions and things of that nature. And so I don't think it's a savior thing. We just want good leadership to lead our country in the right direction. And I think, I mean, a lot of problem is that people disagree on what that direction should be.
Sure. Sure. And I wish I could be, and I appreciate your pragmatism, Guy, and your optimism about the country and people just wanting a good leader. I mean, if the numbers bear it out in terms of the amount of people that register to vote and people that actually show up to vote, I mean, self-professed Christians, only 25% of them vote in a presidential election and only 12% vote in an off-year election, which we'll have this November, and only 5% vote in a primary election, which means 95% of people that would tell you on the street, Guy, that they're a Christian, they stay home on a primary. I think people can talk about wanting good leaders, but when it comes to actually doing something about it, most people don't engage at all.
Well, I think that's one of the things that happens in life in general is that people talk about things they want to see change, but when it comes to actually doing the thing they need to do to invoke that change, I think that's where a lot of people kind of fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
So that definitely happens.
Do you think, Guy, and then I'll let you go, do you think that enough people in America would actually seriously get behind Oprah that she could actually make a serious run for the presidency?
I mean, that's a very good question. I mean, I'm full disclosure, I'm an African-American male. I'm a Democrat. I'm also a Christian. I know those things may not go together in some people's minds, but we actually exist. I think that is possible. I mean, Oprah's been... She's a name. She's well known. She helps a lot of people. She really stands up, you know, for girls and women. She's done a lot of philanthropic things. She has very good ideas about certain things that I think people would agree with. So I think it could possibly happen. I mean, really, what is really the difference between Donald Trump being president and maybe Oprah Winfrey becoming president? Because Donald Trump was... How was he any different when this whole political, you know, career began than Oprah is right now?
Yeah, I think that's a serious question, and that was one of the questions I asked earlier. I'm like, listen, if you wholesale say no way to Oprah, I think you're ignoring the fact that Donald Trump's the current president of the United States, and 5 or 10 years ago, we all would have laughed about that, but here we are.
And I think some people who were anti-Obama looked at Donald Trump is maybe being a savior as far as saving them from whatever President Obama was going to do to America or had already done to America. And I think some of them are probably Christians. And so, you know, it's a very complex situation.
That's for sure.
But, you know, I appreciate you trying to address it. But, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. But I see parallels in some regards.
Yeah, absolutely. Guy, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, man. Take care. And there you go. And that's a whole nother conversation for another day. And I'm going to do that one day. I'm going to do that one day soon. I'm just going to open up the phone, Democrats only, that you and I just want to have a conversation with you. And Guy brought it up because I don't know how you reconcile allegiance to Jesus Christ and the Word of God and voting for the party that, number one, most egregiously, enthusiastically supports and defends infant murder, killing pre-born children, not infant, pre-born children. But I just don't get that. I don't get how you kind of put it down the pecking order and say perhaps welfare or social programs are more important or overshadow the fact that we have a party in this country that's enthusiastically supporting and protecting the murder of the unborn. I just don't get that. And then the whole gay marriage thing and that agenda, we can put that in there as well. So we'll do a show on that, and I'll open up the phones, and the only people I'll let through will be you if you're a Christ follower, claim to be a Christ follower, and vote Democrat. I just want to hear how you reconcile that, and I'm not going to beat you up. I'll ask you a few questions, but I'm not going to get all ugly with you. I just don't do that here. You know, there's plenty of blood sport on other talk radio shows. You're not going to get it here. Not that I don't stand my ground. Of course I do. If you've listened any time, you know that I do. But I'm also willing to listen and try to understand, especially when somebody else is claiming to follow Jesus Christ like I do. So we'll do that here in the near future. Let me jump to this Ben Shapiro article. And here's the best talking points for Oprah 2020, okay? Number one, she's the most famous woman in world history. That's a pretty big statement. I think Mary, the mother of Jesus, is probably the most famous woman in world history. But anyway, literally everyone knows who Oprah is. This is from Ben Shapiro. There's a reason she's known as the queen of all media. She runs a multi-billion-dollar empire, and even Trump has praised her, which he has on multiple occasions. Number two, she's a uniter, not a divider. Again, this is Ben Shapiro's uber-conservative, okay? While Trump's stock is firing people and getting tough, Oprah's is uniting people and being sensitive. Oprah even got flack from her own side when, in 2016, she suggested that far leftists calm down about Trump's election. Oprah's entire brand is soft-spoken emotionalism. Trump's is hard-charging bull in the china shop brusqueness. And Trump is historically unpopular by early presidential standards with high personal negatives. Oprah, by contrast, has some of the highest personal positives in all of American history. There's a little doubt that a Trump-Oprah 2020 matchup would have the widest gender gap in American history. Number three, she has a terrific personal story. She was born dirt poor in Mississippi to a single mother and raised in inner city Milwaukee. She was molested as a child and was pregnant at 14. She got into radio at 19, and she was eventually moved to daytime talk. The rest, as they say, is history. She's now worth nearly $3 billion, and her charitable giving is legendary. Number four, these are the positives for an Oprah run. This is from Ben Shapiro. She checks the left's intersectionality boxes but has crossover appeal. She's black, and she's a woman, and what's more, she speaks openly about her status as a black woman, as she did at the Golden Globes, but she has obvious crossover appeal, too. White women love Oprah, which is why she's worth almost $3 billion. She polls well. As of March 2017, Oprah had a 49-33 favorable rating and led Trump 47-40 in the polls. I didn't even know they were taking polls on that. Here's the drawback. So, again, this is Ben Shapiro. He's saying here's the negatives. Number one, she's wildly inexperienced. This talking point is likely to have little credibility after Trump's election. She obviously has the same amount of experience Trump had when he was running, and her business empire was built on her own back, not on the basis of her parents' wealth. Number two, she's far left. Nobody wants to talk about this inconvenient fact, but it happens to be true. Oprah is far to the left. She endorsed Obama in the 2008 primaries and may have shifted hundreds of thousands of votes his way. She used her show as a platform to rip the Iraq war. She traveled to Denmark in 2009 to praise socialism, on and on. Number three, she's humored conspiracy theories. Number four, there will be scandals that hit her, which would be like her school in South Africa, which got hit by sexual abuse charges that were true. And number five, school marming doesn't tend to work against Trump. Hillary Clinton tried to defeat Trump by talking about how wildly inappropriate and immature he was. It could work better for Oprah, who could look much more like a moral voice than a lecturing one, but it's possible that Trump is immune to that now. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be here with you. An interesting conversation, which came out of the blue. Oprah Winfrey 2020 for president. Wow, it's just nutty, isn't it? But, you know, this country's pretty nutty. Listen, I tell you what, if we can, if most people in this country can sit idly by while we preside over the butchering of 60 million plus unborn children, and then what can you really put anything else past? I mean, we changed the definition of marriage. Well, at least five people in the Supreme Court did. And now we're arguing over gender. And people say, oh, no. Sex and gender, two totally different things. And we're going to go ahead and make special amends for people who have a mental problem and need therapy, not a scalpel. And there's enough people in America willing to turn the whole culture over to accommodate for that. like everybody that shows up that says, hey, I'm Napoleon Bonaparte. Nice to meet you. You're my subject now. What would we say to that person? Oh, they're insane. They need some help. They've got mental issues. They need some help. Not on the gender issue. We're like, oh, okay, well, we'll go ahead and change all our bathroom standards for you, and we'll make sure everybody starts using whatever pronoun is appropriate for your feelings. And in that country where we kill 60 million and change the definition of truth and what's good and evil, you think we wouldn't actually give Oprah Winfrey a look for president? I think that's naive. Anyway, let's set that aside. Enough of that for today. An important Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. David, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I guess the world is moving towards being self-centered, and that's the fruit of it, as I see it. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah, and by the way, David, you're no Oprah Winfrey.
I don't want to be Oprah Winfrey. I want to be who God created me to be.
Amen to that. Anyway, it's great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. A quick Money Monday update with David Fisher and our friends from Landmark Capital. By the way, their phone number, as always, for great information and education, 844-879-8882, a great partner of Call to Action Radio, and their website, as always, landmarkgold.com. I'd love our Money Monday updates, David. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us. We always start with a passage of Scripture, which you pick and bring to our attention. So where are we going today?
Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. You know, it's the old concept, scriptural concept, iron sharpens iron. We need each other. The body of Christ, the hand can't say the arm that he doesn't need them, or the eye, or any parts of the body. And we need one another in the body of Christ, because we are stronger together than in unity, than separate in individualism. And, you know, the same thing happens in a portfolio when you talk about diversifying into precious metals. There was a study done by, that was actually done by the government. The government hired a professor out of a university here in back East Coast. And it found that if you hold 5 to 10% of your money in precious metals, the returns were greater and the risks were lower. So we got to have not just one level of our financial landscape being strictly in paper. We got to diversify. And so I chose it for those two physical and biblical principles.
Yeah, that's a great principle to consider. And that's one of the reasons you and I started talking. And eventually we became, became customers of yours at a certain level, is to kind of balance out and diversify. And you don't know what the economy's going to do, and it's always been a wild ride, and it will remain that way. So I appreciate you bringing that one up. That's a great application. Let's talk about something that we talked about towards the end of last year, and talked about it a lot, which was this whole notion of the petro yuan, that one that we had China getting into an area that typically America and the U.S. dollar has been the world's reserve currency, and using that to deal with oil. So what's the update on that? Because that's a big deal.
Well, they announced in September of last year that they're going to launch this by the end of the year. The end of the year came, and, you know, I was looking and scouring for information, and they didn't launch it after all. But the beginning of the new year last week, the update came, and now January 19th is the target date for the launch to happen. As I said before, Steve, this is going to start out slow and then gain momentum. But I think we're going to see it eventually cause some pressure on the dollar. It's going to cause gold to go up. And simply put, this is another way where countries can sidetrack using the dollar to buy oil. They use their own currency, or they can use the Chinese currency called the yuan, and the yuan would be fully convertible to gold. So this puts a lot of pressure on the United States to get our debt in order.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like we're very interested in doing that at all. Well, last year, let's go back a year. Last year in January, when you were on the show every week, we were talking about you predicted a bull market in both stocks and in precious metals at the same time, which is not common at all. Obviously, you were right. And this year, you know, you were on recently. Last week, we did a whole a show on it. But predicting, again, a bull market in both stocks and metals. So is it, do you see the same situation that's going to happen in 2018 that happened 2017, or what are you basing that on?
Well, last year I based it upon a couple fundamentals, Steve. One being that we have a new president, and never been in politics, and so as a tribute to him being a little bit green behind the ears and a lot of uncertainty, and his style of leadership not being what we're used to, that creates a need to central banks. They don't know what's going to happen, so they add to their portfolio in metals, and so that was the main reason I saw that. There's some other reasons that have come to the table that have escalated, certainly since last year. I mean, we just about everywhere you look, the warning light is saying, warning, warning, markets are overheated. We have the biggest bubble in history in the bond market. When you look at the market, is now officially much more larger than it was before, according to the King report, based upon metrics of stocks valued at 144.15% of U.S. GDP, were surpassing previously markets in the tech bubble, where it was about under 100%. So, you know, the tech market burst. The stock market is now surpassing the tech market in reference to GDP. The bond market is well overvalued. We're facing a dilemma with pensions and bonds. Another major one is the public debt in reference to the GDP. In 2008, we're at 65%. The previous market correction of 2001, we're at 50%. And today, we're at 105%. So yes, it's kind of like driving your car. The red light, engine light is on, but we're ignoring it. We'll see how long this thing will last. I'm not a doomsayer. I love the market. I love the economy. And I think it's going to continue to grow. We're just not paying attention. It will correct at some point. I don't know if that's going to be this year or next year, but yeah, the longer we wait, the bigger the correction usually happens.
So if we do see a correction this year, would you still maintain that overall the stock market's going to have a positive year?
If it's a minor correction, like a 7, 8% correction, normal corrections, what you call a correction is 10% or greater, I think if we have a 10% correction in stocks, it's going to be a crapshoot to see if it ends up as a bull market or a bear market. I personally think if I had to wager, and I'm not a waging or betting person at all, I tend to lean towards the end of 2018 or the beginning of 2019 or sometime in 2019, where we're going to face some severe headwinds in the stock market, and it will correct greater than 10%. But for the time being, again, the red light is flashing, but we're still driving the car, and there's a lot of money coming into the market still.
So you mentioned, I mean, with the correction from 2008, of course, 2001, and go back to 97, which was, I guess that was a Black Friday. Then when that happens, and what role does precious metals, you're talking about gold and silver, what role did they play in kind of diversifying before a correction gets here?
Well, it's simple, Steve. We're about one to two headlines away from a correction. Lehman Brothers, or Bear Stearns, issued a notice. They were in trouble in 2008, and Lehman Brothers folded within 2 days, and the correction was there. So, I mean, it's not a lot of time. And what happened then is gold went up 72% that year, while stocks faltered 40%, 35 to 40%, depending on what positions you're in. So precious metals takes a huge, significant role in diversification tool in the long term, since we've been in a bull market since the year 1999, and I'd still adhere to that policy because we're going to have some more problems coming forth. I'd rather be 2 days too early than 2 days too late, because when the correction happens, it happens really quick.
Yeah, that stuff happens so fast. It's really amazing how fast the whole market reacts, not just nationally, but internationally. I mean, it's so connected. There's so much interconnectivity now these days that stuff happens so rapidly, even news overnight. The market reacts immediately. The next day, we have to be well ahead of it, because you get behind it really fast in a matter of hours, really. So you mentioned recently, just in the precious metals world in general, the end of the year, beginning of the following year, there's this kind of discount that takes place. Explain that to us once again, and is that still going on?
Well, it's not something I have any control over. It is generated by wholesalers who are individuals that have to pay a tax on their inventory, and instead of paying that tax to the IRS, they'd rather discount their inventory and pass the savings off to our clients. It's happened 22 out of 25 years I've been in the industry, and it starts in December and ends usually early January. I've seen it happen till the end of January before, anywhere from 3% up to 30%. It has happened definitely this year. We had many people take advantage of this. several hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars we've sold just through the discount. I'm going to speculate because I don't know when it ends, but it will be through the end of this week and possibly early next week.
So information on that, a brand new newsletter that David just put out, Security, Peace of Mind During Uncertain Times, all of that can be found at landmarkgold.com for that information, landmarkgold.com, or give his team a call at 844-879-8882, 844-879-8882. Very, very helpful information and education that we all need. David Fisher, Landmark Capital, always great to have you on. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. We'll talk again real soon. Okay, friends, we'll be back again tomorrow. And coming this Friday, we're talking a lot about the opioid crisis. I spent a couple hours with a gentleman earlier today whose life was turned upside down. He's 100 days clean. He's going to be here on the show this Friday from Opioids. This is Steve Noble.